Hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Right. I have time. And then call stop. And then the way this one starts acting whenever you start trying to start as a kind of a map that you don't like. That's what I mean. Yeah. Yeah, I know. But I said that you know what's called to
Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Okay.
Are you say something?
Hi.
I hear you. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So you see, okay, very good. Let me, I had a Ninja Turtle background, but let's see whether it's, can you see my Ninja Turtle background or
Yeah,
no?
yes.
Oh, okay. You see the turtles around me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because I don't see that, what I'm seeing. So that part's okay. It's centered. I'm all right.
Yes.
All right. So you're recording this. So you're
Yeah.
gonna do it. So nobody's watching
And
right
then you
now,
can
are
see
they?
three
Could they be if they
different
clicked
jump
on
scares. No, they cross on
it? YouTube once I probably post it.
Oh, okay. So it's going to be live, or you're going to post it later?
Maybe.
I'm
Yeah.
gonna post it.
Oh, okay. So you hear me, and
Yeah.
I see you. All right, good. What if
So
I
what?
could?
So what do you do for Ninja Turtles? You worked on Ninja Turtles. What do you do for it? What was your job on there?
On Ninja Turtles,
Yes.
I was one of the writers. I wrote two episodes. I wrote The Attack of the Giant Irma and The Collector. So I'm going to talk about, a little bit how I got onto the show. I mean, I know we're going to talk about Ninja Turtles, but I want to start how I ended up there. I was a live action writer until I started working at Filmation and did Fat Albert and He-Man. And because of He-Man, a lot of people wanted to hire me because He-Man made a lot of money for the toy companies. So I did a lot of create these all kinds of shows. But then I get a call from Jack Mendelsohn, who was the head writer of the Ninja Turtles. And he told me, he would like me to write Ninja Turtles. And I'll tell you the story about how that went about. And I'll tell you a little bit about Jack Mendelsohn too, because he was a very important part of the initial Ninja Turtle world. If it wasn't for Jack, I don't think there would have been an ongoing Ninja Turtle excitement all these years later. And I'll tell you a little bit about him. You don't want to talk about anything about my other shows, just Ninja Turtles, right?
Yes.
Okay. You have to understand, I don't remember much other than I wrote them, it wasn't like,
Yeah.
well, I'll tell you how it all, what I can say.
Okay.
Because I wrote a lot of other shows, and these were just two Ninja Turtles, and I had no idea that the show would remain so popular and the whole franchise. Was it 30 years ago?
50 years ago, I believe.
Yeah. How, yeah. So I'm really very surprised.
Yeah, so do you still write stuff for TV shows? Do you still write stuff for TV shows?
No, but I'm working on a movie idea I have, and I'm going to be doing a puppet show on the internet on a regular basis in about a month or so. I have the puppets are being built and the set and all that stuff. So I'm doing it that way. But
Oh,
no more
okay.
cartoons. Not for me. It'll be my own stuff. And I'll that I decide what to do instead of someone else telling me what to do.
Yeah.
But I want to say a little bit about Jack Mendelsohn, because he was a very interesting person. And if it wasn't for Jack, I don't think Ninja Turtles would be popular at all as it became. He really had an amazing background.
Yes. So do you have a favorite Ninja Turtle?
The what?
Do you have a favorite Ninja Turtle? Do you have a favorite one?
A what? I'm sorry?
Do you have a favorite Ninja Turtle? Like a favorite Ninja Turtle from the show? Do you have a favorite one?
Of the Ninja Turtles?
Yes.
Well, the ones that I wrote. Those are my favorite. I like the Giant Irma episode. But the other one was good, too. The first one I wrote was the Giant Irma. And then I wrote the second one. And I was busy writing other shows. I had, shows that were hiring me all the time. I was always working. And, I wrote a couple of Ninja Turtles. And I went ahead and wrote other shows, Ninja Berenstain Bears and the Busy World of Richard Scarry, Where's Waldo, shows maybe you never heard of. So it wasn't like,
I heard of the Bears.
I would have known Ninja Turtles would have been so popular all these decades later. I would have wrote more of them, But I didn't. I didn't know. I wrote the He-Mans, and when I was writing that, none of us knew this show would. They would be making He-Man movies, even to this day. So the people that are that look at your video, are they about your age? Are they older or every age?
I believe every age.
So I'm going to mention some television shows that Jack worked on and a few that I worked on very briefly that your older people that follow you will certainly know about. So just because I want to show Jack's very strong comedy background and why he was a fantastic choice to be in charge of the Ninja Turtles original cartoons, because he built the foundation for everything that followed. Now, you're familiar with the comic books, right? How it really started?
Yes.
It was, yeah, okay. And of course, they were important too, but he turned it into a television show, a television cartoon, which is different from comics.
Yes.
Well, let's see, what time is it now? 57. So we're going to start at 10 or we're going to start sooner?
We can start now.
You want to start now?
Yes.
Okay, so let's start now. Are you recording now?
Yes.
Okay. So you want to introduce me or whatever you do?
My name is Nick. I want my own podcast.
And I'm Roby Gorn, and I'm a Ninja Turtle writer. I wrote two of the original Ninja Turtle shows, cartoons, Giant Irma and The Collector. And so I'm here to tell you about how I discovered Ninja Turtles and a little bit about how I got to Ninja Turtles. So what did you want to ask me before I tell you about
what I want to talk about? Do you have a favorite character from Ninja Turtles?
Well, I like them all. But when I was writing them, I still had to educate myself which was the best. I think Michelangelo was one of my favorite. And, of course, Irma, because I used her as a giant in my episode. So here's how I got into this thing. I was a television writer and wrote live action shows that were before your time, like Roan and Martin's Laughing, Three's Company, Hollywood Squares. All this is before you were born, probably. And a lot of other very popular shows. So one day I get a call from my agent saying, they're looking for writers for Fat Albert. Would you like to write a Fat Albert cartoons? And I said, I don't think so. I don't know how to write cartoons. And I certainly can't write the kind of dialogue that they do on Fat Albert. It didn't seem like a natural dialogue. But I said, well, so we'll meet, at least meet with them. So I met with the Filmation, they were looking for comedy writers for Fat Albert, because it was sort of a serious show with a little bit of comedy. And after all, Bill Cosby was a comedian. He had very funny stories about his Fat Albert days. So I wrote 13 Fat Alberts, and I was working at Filmation, and then they said I was finished, and I said, well, goodbye, everybody. And I said, no, we want you to stay. We want you to write He-Man. I said, I don't know anything about He-Man. I never heard of it. You know, I saw pictures on the wall of He-Man, posters, but I didn't know who he was. He said, well, we want you to start next week writing He-Man. So they gave me a big stack of scripts, and I wrote some He-Man episodes. So that got me into writing a lot of cartoons. Why? Because toy companies made billions of dollars on the He-Man cartoons. So a lot of other cartoon companies wanted the He-Man writers to work for them because they wanted to make billions of dollars too. So I wrote a bunch of cartoons, Berenstain Bears. I have a bunch of cartoons that were very popular when I wrote them. A Teen Wolf, and things like that. And then I get a call one day from Jack Mendelsohn. And Jack Mendelsohn, I'll tell you a little bit about him in a minute, but Jack said to me, I'm in charge of a show called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I said, what? Are you joking with me? I never heard of Ninja Turtles, and you can imagine someone who, because I was so busy writing cartoons, even though the series was already on for a year, Ninja Turtles was on for a year, but I never watched. I didn't have time. I was so busy writing other cartoons and things like that. So he says, yeah, it's a show. I'm not joking. So he said, I said, okay. So we'll think of some ideas. He sent me some scripts. He sent me some tapes of the earlier episodes. And think of some episodes that you could write for Ninja Turtles. So I get the tapes. I get the scripts. I get what they call a Bible. A Bible is it's an overall view of what the show's going to be about. So you sort of, you know, they hire a lot of writers to write these cartoons. They're freelance, like I was. And so they want the show to be consistent. They don't want one writer to treat the Ninja Turtles this way and another way. So the Bible had all the characters, all the turtles, of course, and all the other characters involved in the show. And so I read all that, you know. I said, well, this looks like a pretty interesting show, even though I never heard of it. So I came up with my first idea, which was that the Giant Irma episode. Jack Mendelsohn was very protective of the Ninja Turtles. He knew what he wanted. He wanted good stuff. It was very hard to get any show ideas, story ideas through Jack. I gave him maybe 10 ideas, and he liked the Irma episode. That was so I wrote that. But let me backstep a little bit. I want to tell you the importance of why the Ninja Turtles are so popular today. And I think I'm correct in saying, if it wasn't for Jack Mendelsohn, the Ninja Turtles today, I can't imagine they would be as popular as they were now. Because you got to remember, the cartoon, there was a comic book, of course, before the cartoons, but the cartoon is what made the Ninja Turtles into a cartoon, you know, to the world. The world learned about the Ninja Turtles, and they loved the Ninja Turtles. And it all starts with the script. When I go to a Ninja Turtle convention or He-Man convention, the people, the fans that go there, they don't go to the writers. They go to the artists. They go to the voiceover people and people like that. Now, there's no question about it. The voiceover actors who played the turtles and the other characters, the supporting characters, were absolutely important too. I'm not putting them down. Yeah. And the artists, of course, you know, they're very important. But most people when they're at these conventions, they don't go to the writers section. They don't want the autographs of the writers. Some do, and quite a few do, considering that most people don't understand the importance of the writers. They go on to get the autographs of the voice actors if they're there at the event, and the storyboard artists and the animators. That's who they want to see. The big crowds are around them. But it starts with the story. In the olden days when Disney was doing cartoons, the storyboard came first. But these days, the way cartoons are done, you write the script first, and then the storyboard comes second, and then the animation happens. Although first is the script, then the storyboard, and then they get the voiceover actors to read the script that we wrote. And make it do the wonderful things for it, and then it goes to the ink and paint, where they put the. In those days, we had ink and paint artists who painted on cells, and they layered them up. They didn't have computers to do that in those days, and then they would shoot them with the camera, overhead, like they were done for years. But it all started with the writers. And I want to tell you a little bit about Jack Mendelsohn's credits. And you are too young to remember shows like Roan and Martin's Laughing, which, by the way, I was also a writer on. He was on that show. He wrote for the Carol Burnett Show. I'm just skipping through a lot of things that he did. The Flintstones, The Addams Family, a ton of shows, and it goes Shazam, a million shows on television, and that's what he brought to the Ninja Turtles. He took whatever was in the comic book, he took with whatever the people that owned the characters and worked with them, and turned it into one of the most, as it turned out, I didn't know it at the time, probably the biggest cartoon show of its day, and not only of its day, everything that came out of it. You see in my icon, there's me with one of the turtles. There wouldn't be any of that if it wasn't for Jack Mendelsohn, and he died a few years ago. You should, anyone who's a Ninja Turtle fan, should give a salute to the guy who really started the cartoon in collaboration with certainly other people, but the writing is what comes first. No script. The actors come in, they have nothing to say. You know, it's kind of funny. A lot of people don't realize the importance of writers. I know I have two sisters, and my older sister thought, the actors came in and they said everything, and my job as a writer was just to write it down afterwards. Well, it doesn't work that way. So that's just the background on the Ninja Turtles. Yeah. I never thought they were. I was amused of the concept, I never thought the characters or the show would be any more important than the other shows I was writing at the time. He-Man, Filmations, Fat Albert, Berenstain Bears, Teen Wolf, and so many other shows. It was just another cartoon show that I figured, it's popular now, but a few years, it'll just be an old show that not on anymore, nobody will particularly remember, but look what it became. So that's a little, now I'm sure you have questions for me, but it was so long ago, it's hard for me to remember anything. So I wrote the first script I wrote was the Giant Irma story. And I was always fans of these old monster movies where people, giants stomp around. And there was an old movie about a giant woman. She drank something and she became a giant. And it was sort of one of those low budget films, but it was a pretty popular low budget film. And I thought, That maybe Irma could do that. Maybe she ate something or drank something that turned her into a giant. So among my stack of maybe 10 ideas that I met with Jack about, one of them was the Irma story. So he said, that sounds good. And he came back to me with some suggestions, you know, okay, what if we do this? What if you do that? And the way you write these scripts is you do what they call a premise, which is the short version. Then you do what they call an outline, which for a 30-minute cartoon would be maybe 3 pages or so, saying each scene that's going to happen. And then he approves. The story editor will approve it, and probably they have to circulate it among the other people, the people who own the rights to the Ninja Turtles, and make sure they all are happy with it. So he gave me the go ahead, and I spent about 2 weeks writing that Irma show because I know Jack was very particular about it. It had to be good because he was settled for no less because yeah, that was his reputation. And so I turned it in, and he absolutely loved it. And he said, "Well, give me another one." I said, "Well, I'm a little busy doing Berenstain Bears at the moment, but I'll come up with another story for you as soon as I can." So maybe it was, you know, I don't know, maybe even a month or so later, I had some time available, and I thought, "What else could I do for Ninja Turtles?" And I had a bunch of ideas, you know, like the premises, maybe 8 or 9. But one of them, I thought there could be a collector, someone who's like you are, who collects everything Ninja Turtles, you know, all of anything they can get. And so he has a museum. And he has everything of Ninja Turtles that he can, just like you have and all the other Ninja Turtles fans these days have. You know, they have their favorite toys. You know, you see everything. You know, it's become very big. But he had a museum, and he had all fun. It's kind of funny when I think about it. He was maybe the first Ninja Turtle fan, at least on the cartoon. So maybe I kind of started all the fans when I think about it. As I talk to you right now, he was a fan just like you were a fan. And he had all this stuff. And the only thing he didn't have were the turtles themselves.
Yeah.
So that was the scheme. He wasn't a bad guy. He just wanted the turtles to be in his museum for people to look at. So that was the premise that I gave to Jack that he liked, Jack Mendelsohn. And that's the script that I wrote. And knowing that Jack was in charge, I wrote his best as I could because he was very picky, very picky about the show being, you know, what as he saw it. And then I went on to write other stuff. You know, I didn't pay any thought about the show becoming an enormous hit and everything that's happened since then that you already know. So those are the two I wrote. And, and it's just fun when I would go to the Ninja Turtles conventions that people would come up to me.
Do you still do conventions? Do you still do conventions?
Not like I used to. For one thing, there's, you know, the COVID. I've been to maybe 2 or 3 here on the West Coast. I'm busy doing other things that prevent me from doing a lot of traveling, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
The only reason I knew that the Ninja Turtles were popular, just like with He-Man, is all of a sudden on the internet, groups like yours have started. And a lot of the people that worked on these shows, like He-Man and Ninja Turtles, they had no idea that it was becoming popular again. Of course, in the case of Ninja Turtles, it never became unpopular. But in the case of He-Man, it was just a memory for me. I never thought that He-Man was very popular until I was on some on the internet. I just Googled He-Man for some reason. There was a He-Man website, and they were talking about He-Man and things like that, and the other people that worked on those shows were also just as surprised as I was that the show, in case of He-Man, was so popular. And Ninja Turtles was quite different because He-Man was over, and there were a few reboots of He-Man, and now there's a movie coming out and all that. But Ninja Turtle kept growing. It didn't have a lull between the original cartoons. It was such a huge success right from the beginning. It was a long, long history of people being fans like you. So it was something we never expected. It was quite frankly, the bottom line, it was a paycheck for me. I was paid to write it, and I was happy to be writing for Jack Mendelsohn because I knew he was tough and it would be good. But I had no idea that it would be so popular still, and people like you, who weren't even born when I was writing those episodes, are so excited about it. That's pretty much it.
Have you seen this episode with the Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles?
The what?
Have you seen this episode with the Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles?
No, the only ones I really look at are the cartoons that I wrote. I'm not that I'm not a Ninja Turtle fan, but I'm doing other things in my life, and unlike you, I'm happy I wrote them. I'm excited that there are fans all over the world that like my cartoons, my Ninja Turtle cartoons, but I'm doing other things. You know, my own. I think I don't know whether I mentioned it yet. I'm doing a script idea that I've been writing, and we'll see if that comes, a movie script, motion picture, and we'll see what becomes of that. I had to stop writing it during the writer's strike, but I almost finished with it now. And I'm also working on my own project, which is going to be a crazy, wacky puppet show. And that'll be out in about a month and a half, I think. And it'll be really crazy and funny. And I'll let you know when it's out so you can watch it. Of course, it's not Ninja Turtles, but I think it will be pretty funny. Yeah. So tell me, how did you discover Ninja Turtles? What was your, and what were you doing the day you first, I remember the day I first heard a Beatles song, for example. What were you doing? I guess you turned on the TV or something, or a friend told you about it. How did you discover Ninja Turtles?
It was, I watched that Nickelodeon.
You were what?
I watched that Nickelodeon. You heard the channel Nickelodeon?
Yeah. And then you decided to form your own group. Tell me about your group. Is it a Facebook group? Because I'm going to join it. But where is this group?
It's on Facebook. I'm a creator Ninja Turtle group and a Power Rangers group.
Okay, you're going to send me a link, so I'm going to be joining that too.
Yeah.
So I can stay in touch with the fans that are part of your group.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else I can tell you other than I had. You know, I was writing, you know, about a script every 2 weeks for Ninja Turtles and these other shows. I was grinding them out. It's a lot of work to write a cartoon show. The voice actors come in, they spend a half hour or an hour or so reading the voices behind the, before they would do the animation. But the writers spend, I know, at least 2 weeks, at least. Maybe with Jack, it was maybe even a 3 week. So it was, I was grinding them out, you know. Yes. And it was very interesting writing so many scripts so rapidly.
Yes.
So I never... Once I finished, I turned my head and writing some other show, either Berenstain Bears or Teen Wolf. I don't remember what it might have been, because I was writing for all the studios.
Yeah.
Another funny thing was, it was the days when the internet was around, but writers were still using, in the early days at least, typewriters. And I was one of the first to get a computer, and was writing them on my computer. And whenever I would work for a new studio, I'd go to the studio and install the connectivity so I wouldn't have to take the script in. It was to be sent over the internet. So they would get my script, and the secretary loved it. They didn't have to retype it. It was all ready to go. And so I was sort of like the guy that made the internet happen for all the animation studios that were big in those days, because I didn't want to have to drive there. So we're so used to everything on the internet now, but that wasn't the case in those days. So I would go to the studio and say, okay, you're going to, instead of me coming in or having a delivery person deliver it, let's set up a connectivity. It was called a modem in those days. So I did all that. And it was very tight, these shows. Most of them were still being done in the old way with animation cells and painting on them. I'm sure you've seen those original Ninja Turtle cells where it's ink and paint on the clear plastic. Have you seen that?
Yes,
Yeah, now, of course, it's all computerized, but in those days, that's how they did it. At Filmation, they actually did it right in the studio. They had a big room with all these people painting the cells. Other studios would send them overseas, and they would do it because it was less expensive. And I remember, except for Ninja Turtles, I was a kind of a bad boy. I was a procrastinator. If the script was due on a Monday, and this is not with Ninja Turtles, I would probably start writing it Sunday night. And then I call in the next morning and say, I need a few more days to write it. So I was writing my scripts, always turning them in late. I remember I was writing for Deke Entertainment for some show, and they had to have my script a certain day early in the morning. And I was literally finishing up the last scenes and they were getting ready to send it to Taiwan for the animation. Yeah. So until I became my own storyboard, my own story editor, or in some cases producer, in the case of animation, I was very late getting my scripts in. But that's what sort of made them good. It sort of brought my energy up. I was late. So that's how I was in school, too. I did my homework. That when class started, I was doing my homework that was due. I should have done the night before. So that's why. But I got my my energy going. It took me maybe 5 more days. I was always at least 5 days late in getting my script in. And it's kind of embarrassing to say that. But that's how I did it in those days. Until I became a story editor and sometimes producer and sometimes a director occasionally.
Yes.
So that's about it. You know, I don't know much more I can say other than I enjoyed writing it. And I enjoyed writing it for Jack, who was very... He knew what the characters were supposed to be. He knew what kind of humor he wanted, and that's, I think, your group should take your hats off and go to Wikipedia and look up Jack Mendelsohn and see his background, who really set the ball rolling, as far as I'm concerned, for the whole, everything Ninja Turtles after the comic book. And again, there are a lot of other people too. I'm not, you know, dismissing them, but you know, you can talk a lot about a show and ideas, but finally, it's got to be in a script form. You got to get everybody say, let's do this, let's do that, let's do this. Okay, you got to simplify it. You got to get the best of everything and say, this is what we're going to do going forward. And he has to get all that approved by not just his own background, which was considerable, but the people who were, you know, who are hired him, and the people who wrote the comic book. All those people were telling him to do this and do that, but they picked the right guy to start the whole thing going. And he died maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So that's about it.
Yeah, it ties me on Zoom anyways. I only got 4 minutes left.
Oh, we have 4. What do you want to ask me in 4? I can't believe it's almost been 4 more minutes.
Yeah.
Well, anything else you want to ask?
Do you have a favorite superhero?
A favorite what?
Superhero.
Well, I grew up when Superman was the only hero around. You know, the old television show Superman. So that was a favorite. And then they always were done very seriously. Superman was a serious show. And then Batman came around. And I got to tell you, when I first saw it, I didn't get the joke. Have you ever seen Batman, the TV show, the old TV show?
No.
Well, I mean, I was all excited they were going to do a Batman show. And I thought it would be like Superman, you know, done very seriously. And I watched the show. I was taking a writing course, how to write at Hollywood High School. And I said to them, I saw this. I turned on Batman last night, and it was awful. I didn't get the joke. I thought they were being, I didn't realize they were poking fun at the whole thing. So it was very funny that I didn't get it, you know. And I didn't realize they were not trying to be serious like Superman, you know. So it started with Superman and then Batman, of course. But they were all very straight kind of action heroes in those days. And then it got a little bit, Bill and Ted, well, they really weren't heroes. But it was Ninja Turtles that changed all that. They were likable. They were fascinating. It was totally different from anything that came before them. So Superman was the first one as a kid when I was, you know, 10 years old when the TV show originally started. That was that. I remember I was there at the Hollywood Chinese Theater for the premiere of Star Wars, if that means anything. I went there with the conceptual artist of Star Wars. He was telling me about this new movie he was working on, and it was called Star Wars. And I didn't, again, I had no idea what it was going to be about. And he did all the conceptual artwork for Star Wars. He was working at as a aircraft artist for I think for Boeing or something, and he was they wanted him to write to draw the various spaceships and all of that, and Ralph Quarry is his name, and so I went to see Star Wars without any idea what it was about at the Chinese Theater, and I was just. Now, there wasn't a superhero movie, but there was certainly action going in there. So that's how I first saw Star Wars with a conceptual artist. A real nice guy. Very talented.
We have a minute, yes. We have a minute, yes.
A minute left.
Yes.
Oh, so what I'm doing now these days is I mentioned to you I'm doing my puppet show. I have a script that's going to be pretty funny. Yeah. And I'm what they call a Shopify expert. I mentioned I'm always into computers. So now I'm also doing merchandising for Shopify sites. So that's what I'm doing these days. And quite different from my animation days. But again, I sort of segued into that.